Welcome to GamerCasts. This is episode 60. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul. And Adam is sorry that this episode was delayed a week. Talk to some germ people.
I was ill. I was off work. It was there. So.
So yeah, this is now broadcasting live on the 25th of February. 2007.
February.
So yeah, what have we got to talk about?
Stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
More stuff. Ooh, because I got my tax money back, I shall...
Hang on. Is this a topic for the show that isn't on the show notes?
Yeah.
Why didn't you state it 5 minutes ago?
Because it just came to me. I will be purchasing a Microsoft Zune.
When they come out?
No, this week. From America.
Have you made sure it works?
Yeah, it's from guy that's importing
the
them.
Software.
Yeah, they work fine over here, and there's no problems with power because they all run off
USB.
PC USB. So I should be getting a Zune. I'm going for the black one. Brown one was kind of
Zune
cool.
Sucks.
What would you prefer?
I would buy my pocket PC I already have.
Well, but it's hard drive is 2 gig versus 30.
Versus tied to stupid Zune marketplace, tied to stupid Zune DRM, etc., etc. No, man.
It's better than Apple.
No. Yeah, it's better than Apple, but it's doing the same thing as Apple. That's the problem. Open. Work with all formats and all things.
Anyway.
Although it does remind me of when I was a right open source geek and I wanted a player that did Ogg Vorbis. Geek attack, right.
Yes.
W made lossless is cool.
Okay.
But DRM is not cool. So do not buy anything from Zune Store.
Oh no, I'm just...
You will not, or I will kill you.
I'm just using my own music.
And the DRM people will hunt you down.
They're just...
But yeah, you have to install the Zune software. I want to use Windows Media Player. It's already installed on my system. Why can't I use that?
I thought you could use it.
No, you can't. This is what I'm going on about.
All right.
It's tied to Zune Player Store type whatever.
Alright.
So you're going to have to play around with like Windows Explorer or something. But you can't, as far as I know, use the sync feature in Windows Media Player. So yeah, do some research.
Yeah.
Find out, man. Because I haven't really looked into all the nitty gritty stuff, if you can get around all the stuff, because it's not out in Europe, so it just hasn't come onto my radar.
No. Right, first on the list.
First on the list is Adam is fired.
I'm fired!
Right, so I'll do this then, yeah?
Yeah, go on, man.
Okay, cool. This is like something I found like 2 weeks ago, but because we didn't have a show last week,
and my fault was on,
we couldn't do it. It was basically an EA developer, one who worked on Battle for Middle-earth 2 and a few other titles, like good titles, not just rubbish. Basically said, get the 360 and all the Wii, skip the PS3 unless there's a big change in the near future. So yeah, I think that sums up our position quite nicely. You know, it goes on to say, last year the prediction was that Sony would win the next gen war, that the PS3 would be the dominant console, just like the PS2 was. That is no longer the case. The extremely strong performance of the Wii, combined with the miserable performance of Sony, has revised pretty much everyone's expectations. Right now, most of us here think the 360 would be on top for this generation, with a battle for second place between Sony and Nintendo. That's a major shock, as we nearly written Nintendo off for the non-handheld market. This is EA. Most of us still think Sony would beat off Nintendo simply due to the older graphics on the Wii, but it's not a sure thing.
So yeah, even the fact that the developers are saying that they're disappointed with it is really showing.
Well, it's no surprise.
Yeah.
Microsoft is always good with developers. Need I remind everyone of Steve Ballmer's PDC? Was it PDC 99? Was it? I can't remember what year it was. But he said, you know, the developers, 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 developers. And then he was like out of breath and totally knackered.
He always knackers himself out. He needs to have pre-records and stuff, and then have.
Yeah, he needs to do this sort of thing every day.
Yeah.
He needs to like spend 3 hours just doing stuff like that.
Developers, 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 or running around on a pre-made stage doing his little dance thing. You know, do do do. You know, he's yeah, come on, come on. I still watch that from time to time. It cheers me up.
Well, yeah, I actually saw something really interesting. On where was it? On istartedsomething.com. This is a weblog by a fellow Channel Niner, and he basically rates Microsoft. He does the Microsoft hair test, where the more hair you have, the less like insane you are. So we've got Bill Gates, who's lots of hair, not eccentric. Jim Altron, fair bit of hair, bonus points for white hair, not eccentric. Ray Ozzie, a bit of hair, bonus points for white hair, not so eccentric. And then they go on to Jay Allard, who's like before and after. He's like, you know,
shaved his head for the 360 launch.
Jay Allard did have hair before cosmetic surgery, bonus pity points, no hair now, eccentric. Steve Ballmer, barely any hair, very eccentric. So yeah, that's Long's theory on that.
Cool, like that. So,
also quite big of a news this week, and more PlayStation 3 stuff, although this is more of a PlayStation 3 disaster.
Go for it.
The Emotion Engine, the chip, the PS2 chip, which they have in the PS3 in North America and Japan, which basically handles a lot of their backwards compatibility. So, you know, PlayStation 1 had backwards compatibility on PS2 because the PS2 had a PS1 hardware in it. Same thing, PS3. PS3's got PS2 hardware in it, so it runs backwards compatibility. For Europe, that's being dropped. So they're only going to have software emulation. So that basically means instead of like 60% of titles running, it'd be more like 6% of titles running.
But if you had a Japanese one and you had a Japanese PS3,
yeah, you've got the hardware in there to do it.
Yeah,
but everything's going to have to be done in software, and the PlayStation 2 isn't an easy console to emulate because it's so fragmented.
I think they just shot themselves in the other foot now.
Well, the worst thing is everyone thinks it's got backwards compatibility, and it's backwards compatible because Sony just said it's backwards compatible.
Then go into the detail.
In an episode a few months ago, we went over the backwards compatibility issue on the PS2 because it wasn't 100% for PS2 titles. PlayStation 1 titles, it was, you know, 95%+, which is cool. But the general public think, yeah, it's backwards compatible. You just put the disc in and play. No. You put the disc in, it doesn't work. Then you try and juggle around on Sony's absolutely terrible website and see if there's an update which will fix it. So they're not automatically pushed out like on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, Sony have admitted, yeah, we're not going to really do a lot making stuff backwards compatible because we're going to concentrate on PS3 stuff.
I think a lot of it is that they realise that they don't want to bother with the Western market. They just want to get it out, sell it for the Japan market for the old bells and whistles. But this time, before you get the bells and whistles always in Japan, but this time it really is going to make a difference on sales if they don't do it here. So they are really...
It won't make a difference on sales, I don't think. What it will make a difference in is annoying people.
Yeah,
because Sony came out at E3 and said, we're backwards compatible, full stop. Microsoft said, we're backwards compatible with these games, we're going to do an update like every month to add more games. That's exactly what Sony's doing now.
Yeah.
So Sony have done what Microsoft have done, only they've done it much worse.
And later.
And, you know, launch is only 4 weeks away.
And you don't see them going around advertising it because they'll screw up their launch.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, especially in Europe, there's a lot of retailers who push trade-in. You know, trade it in. Trade your old console in, blah, blah, blah. People are going to trade their PS2 in, thinking they can play all their games on the PS3.
And they're just going to have dead discs.
And that we're going to get phone calls saying, yeah, my PlayStation 3 isn't running my PS2 games. Or it's running one PS2 game I've got, but it runs really slowly. And you know, we're going to say, yeah, it's not backwards compatible, check if there's an update on the website, but that's it.
Yeah,
they're
going to
say,
what?
I want my PS2 back then. And it's like, sorry, it's been sold, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you should have just got Xbox 360 and be done with it, because at least then you know what works, because there's a damn list which says which games work.
Damn PlayStation, blah 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 blah. So
that's fun.
Yeah,
that's like the big piece of news that caught my radar this week.
I'm curious to see, because I must admit,
Radar Supreme Commander.
Ooh.
Yes, Supreme Commander is coming later.
Yes.
But now we've got a few other news items, then we're gonna crack on with like email and stuff. Alien Hominid coming to Xbox Live Arcade next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be on Wednesday or whatever day it is. Yeah, I think it's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
GameStop, a US games retailer, has been spamming people's phones, and a lot of people are annoyed about that. So that's interesting.
Should we play the...
Yeah, let's play the little clip quickly. Where
yeah.
Is that? That's in...
Yeah.
With the Terminator people on it.
Yeah.
Message. Hi, this is Aris from GameStop and EB Games calling you with an important message. We apologize for interrupting your day, but we have a great offer to tell you about regarding your purchase. Our records indicate...
Lag.
Wait for it to load.
I need to do the little finger thing.
You reserved Legend of Zelda. If you have finished playing this game, we would like to offer you a special trade-in price of $35 if you trade in Legend of Zelda by Wednesday, February 21st. This offer ends soon, so stop by your local store today. We appreciate your business. Thank you. Goodbye.
So yeah, I mean... Way to spam up people's phones.
You know, fair enough, you ring up the store, you'll get the blabble, you know, trading your new games today and you'll get such an offer. Everyone's got their deals. It's like, my mate went into Game Store and got a copy of Final Fantasy 12 and he got a set trade-in price off if he traded in any one of these games. And he traded in Lego Star Wars 2 because he completed it. And he was quite happy because he's on a tight budget. Now he's living away from his parents. So he was quite happy with that. And, you know, he went in and got it sorted. And fair enough, if he rung up the store, they might have advertised that on the phone. But to go around leaving you answer phone messages, you dare not get away with it in this country. Because most people, pay as you go or not, it'll cost you money to listen to that damn thing. And you'll get that flashing thing continuously saying you've got a message unless you bloody well listen to it.
Well, there's all the lists you can go on to stop people from doing it.
Mm.
So that there's laws against doing it.
Yeah, thank God. I don't think anybody would ever go that far when it comes to that.
So what else is there? Oh, the Tesco thing.
Yeah, Tesco's.
Yeah, Tesco, which is the major supermarket chain in the United Kingdom, they have basically, it's leftover policies from when they just did food. But
yeah.
Over the last decade or so, they've expanded into selling everything.
But a lot of this is not used that much because most people don't know about it. Well, the policy stood was the fact that if you pick up, say, some bananas and they were, I don't know...
How much are bananas?
Yeah, let's say that they were... You bought a bunch of them and they were 60p.
How about bread? Everyone likes bread.
Okay. Loaf of bread. You got a text message. Loaf of bread and say that's good loaf of bread and it's like 80p. And... Mm. You go to the till and they turn around and say, yep, that'll be 99p. You know, like, no, it said 80p on the thing. And
you basically get the loaf of bread for free.
Yeah, instead of them knocking the price down to say sorry and to stop the whole hassle, you get the loaf of bread for free. Because the policy still stands, people had actually been going in and they had the 360, which was priced on the shelf at 297 pounds and 81 pence. But when the person got to the till and they actually scanned the barcode, it came up at 299 pounds and 97 pence. And legally, the person turned around and said, that's wrong, I want it for free. And they got a free 360. Unfortunately, they have changed that, so don't start running out to go to your 24-hour Tesco's checking all the prices, because they won't do it now, but...
Yeah, they've modified their policy.
Mm.
So if somebody sent us that, I don't know, a month ago, you know, sorted.
We would have had a gamercast. 360.
Right. So that's it for the news. So on with the letters.
Letters, letters. Welcome to letters.
Right, we actually, I think we had quite a few, didn't we? Some dude, Darth Ura, if that is his real name, I doubt it, says again, I love the show. It's hilarious, random, and informative, and friendly. Among the religious bashing, PS3 bashing, and other bashing.
We're good at bashing.
Yeah, okay, let's just stop there, because that's all we really need to hear.
We bash.
Oh yeah, he says, why haven't the sales figures been on the show lately? I'm interested in the PS3 bomb and the Wii and 360 sales. Well, longer shows, lol, hour, poof. More guests, I like new voices and personalities, not to mention another opinion. Cursing is great for family shows, although I do respect your perfection for a professional show. And it's close. Dodgy face. Thanks again, waiting for the 50 plus. This is 60, man.
So yeah, we try to make a good family show. God damn it.
God damn it, we're all cool. If it's in The Simpsons, it's cool.
Yeah. Damn.
What else is there? We also got one from Darth Ura again, which basically says 73 readers that are subscribed to Gamercast. There's actually more like 90 odd, but it dips in the middle of the week. Then we have one from Killy Pants Mafia, who also says something in the chat room. Here's something for you guys to chew upon. I think the spectator role in online games is possibly the most underrated, underestablished, and underexplored. I was just thinking the other day of what a game would be like if the spectator actually had a role in the gameplay. We all know what it's like to be the first dead in heated Counter-Strike match, and you have to wait the entire thing out. But just imagine if once while you died, you could still play a pivotal role to the game outcome. For example, as a spectator, you could break glass. A simple diversion, make other natural noises like footsteps, etc., etc., and other things. It's a far-fetched idea, but what do you guys think? Keep up the good work, KM.
Actually,
I've got a problem with this. You're dead.
I think what would be really nice...
You're dead, man.
To add a sense of realism, as soon as you're dead, if it's like once you're dead, you're out of the game until the match is over, that you come back into the game straight away, respawned, unarmed, and you're dressed up as like a civilian, you know, person, and you're got to run around and get shot in the crossfire, and people lose points for the fact that you're shooting civilians. So you got to run around the street and you pull the trigger, and you just, instead of you do it, you're firing stuff. Your character animates by waving the arms up in the air, going, "Oh, don't shoot me!" Running in front of people's line of fire.
What?
I'm just thinking of ideas. Or maybe gun turrets, and you control the gun turrets and just pummel everyone.
I suppose that would be good for Team Fortress, like when you die, although Team Fortress didn't have, in Team Fortress you just respawn, but in like a similar sort of game where you had rounds, instead of the AI controlling the turrets like it did, just let the human control the turret.
Yeah.
Keep them occupied for a few minutes. But I mean, the idea of a dead people, like, you know, doing stuff from beyond the grave, that's my skeptical side is like,
well, it's not about
the flags are going up. No way, man.
It's not about doing by the thing. It's the fact that your character's dead and you're sat there doing something. It's an opportunity for you to interact with the rest of what's going on.
They should like transport you to a room where everyone else is, and you could just mess around.
Yeah. What would be quite nice is if it's preloaded in the background, so you get there quite quick. Is like. Remember we used to play it on the Xbox when we had Mech Assault 2?
Mech Assault 2.
And there was a loading area, and everyone would just run, do laps around that loading there, waiting for everyone to come in, and you could talk to each other and stuff.
Yeah.
If you had an area for that was kind of like a shooting range, and you could go pick up other guns, and you could just sit there and just shoot stuff. Or, you know, and you could turn around and shoot each other, and you blood splatter and stuff, but you couldn't kill each other. And you could just hang out there and practice with your guns and try different things out.
Gun time.
While you're waiting for the match to go over, because some people don't want to watch the whole entire match, and you can choose. They give you an option. Do you want to watch the match in floating mode, or do you want to go to the gun range and just practice with that until the match is over? Just to give you something to do. So yeah, I can see possibilities for that. It's an unexplored area that would be quite good. Right. What was next on the list?
I'll just have a look in the forum and see if there was anything in there.
What did Catherine say? She said, mention something.
Well, if you did Gamercast last week, you could mention it then. That was like 5 minutes ago. So what were we talking about 5 minutes ago?
Well, I don't know.
Sales figures, maybe? I don't know. Okay. Oh, the Tesco thing? Yeah, that's probably it, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Right, so what's going on here? We had 7 posts on... I got mentioned... This is from Vengeance of Night, whoever that is. I got mentioned and I wasn't even there. How awesome am I? Also, 2 beta invites now. 2 beta invites for what?
I'm lost.
Well, Darth Aura says, Gamercast is ridiculously funny and informative. I like downloading the show because it takes ages. Another text message.
Either text message.
Just carry on reading that way.
Gamercast is ridiculous, funny, and informative. I like downloading the show because otherwise I would miss it. I don't watch it live. I can't.
Yeah, but the live thing is, you know, it's a broadcast. It's downloadable. That's the point.
You download it whenever you want.
The live thing is something we did afterwards because we're bored and we just want like extra windows on the screen.
And it means that we can interact with people with, instead of people putting their chime in and we have to revisit something, which we don't mind doing. We don't mind revisiting subject matter if it's like,
ooh. But we can do it on the fly.
Yeah, people go, well, no, I found this out. And you're like, ooh, link. And we can jump straight to the website and we're there. Because the other thing that does help is the fact that because we've got Catherine listening,
She's like on the ball all the time.
Yeah, and she's there with the knowledge. So if we say something and it's wrong, or if we say something and she's like, ooh, there's this, here's a link, more information, we can do it straight there. So the live feature does have its
Which
bonuses.
Is why we need to build a robot, Catherine, who we can like put there and turn on when the show's on.
Give her some time to do her studies.
That's why we need a robot.
Right, anything else?
He says he's awaiting the noob hunter. And he says Star Wars rules, and Darth Maul is badass.
Yeah, Noob Hunter just got put on the shelf temporarily.
Adam's busy with like skiving off.
Yeah,
I can't come into work. I've got a sniffle.
I couldn't move. I'm still suffering from it.
Catherine also says last week's or 2 weeks ago show would have been more organized if I'd asked her for like links to news and stuff. Achilles says he falls asleep to the voice of Adam and Paul. I'm not kidding. Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
I download it at like 10 here and listen to it until I fall asleep, but then I re-listen to it because it's fun.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were trying to imply something then.
No, I listen to broadcasts like when I'm going to sleep because it's... Because if it's just audio, if I'm at the computer or somewhere else, I'm doing something else and I'm not paying attention to the audio.
Mm.
Sound quality is fine, guys. This is from Imposterism, whoever that is. He says, sound quality is fine, guys. Don't worry, but hey, what do I know? Yeah, you don't know, do you?
But thanks anyway.
So that's some... We had a lot of feedback, like, the other episode, didn't we? So that's cool. We like feedback.
Mm. But yeah, as far as noob is, you have to realise where my drawing board is in my bedroom. I have to kind of do this one leg jiggle to get my leg underneath where the chair is to actually sit down.
Get
in
a
anybody,
bigger room.
Which I will be, so when I move...
When you move in with thingamajig.
Yeah, I use just the one chair and I can wheel from left to right because I can wheel to my computer and then I can wheel to the left of the drawing board, draw something, wheel back, scan it, and I'll be able to.
Okay, chairman, have fun on your chair.
Yeah, sliding around the chair.
Right, so I think that's all the letters. Oh, we had a few things in the chat room which were just like left. Killy Pants Mafia says, Pwah! I think that's how you pronounce it. Will there be an episode today? La la. I'm bored. Why isn't there an episode right now? Maybe it's on later. Oh, I didn't listen to episode 59. Maybe there isn't one today. If you checked in the forum, I left a note in there saying...
Adam was ill.
Yeah.
You did try to
Adam
get Rudis.
Skiving off. I tried to get Rudis on, but Rudis was skiving off as well.
Yeah, Rudis doesn't want to come over unless he gets something, because the last episode he only came over because he wanted a copy of my Vista.
Hey man, stop pirating stuff.
He only comes over. Well, he wasn't a pirate. He's put his copy on now.
So. Oh, text message. We had some astronomy information which we can give up on the show.
Go for it.
It says, Paul, you know stuff. What's that really big star out tonight? It's me.
Oh, yeah. Party on at Paul's house.
Nope, if you look in the western skies,
mm-hmm.
That way, you can see Venus.
Venus! Okay. Next so, yeah,
what else does it say? No binoculars here, and then I'm told to go take pictures. Yeah, I would love to, but I'm working.
Right.
Right, so that's cool, our little astronomy segment. We've done the supermarket thing, dude.
Do you wanted to do your...
We had our GamerCast staff at the Final Fantasy XII launch event. What are you doing?
I'm adding some extra sound effects. Yeah, so Final Fantasy XII, very much awaited, and here. I haven't got a copy because I don't own a PS2, but...
Exactly. If it was on the 360, you'd be able to buy it.
Exactly.
When you get a 360 for, like, Halo and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we'd just put in a little bit of music so you can hear the...
Okay, basically, there's not a lot of stuff I can really say, but she got a signed copy and, like, stuff like signed by, like, the Final Fantasy blokes.
Oh, that's cool.
But if you look on blog.thesmirnoff.net, on Charlotte's blog, who was also there...
Her life as a black mage.
Just like they like dressed up and everything, so it's like pretty hardcore.
Oh, that's cool. Loads of people dressed up.
So there's loads of pictures on Charlotte's blog, if you want to read that.
Yeah, as you can see, I must admit, I've seen all the original artwork for Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 at the art gallery in London, which was very cool. As you can hear the music in the background, I'm
Turn that off.
Actually playing the music from Final Fantasy III, which I've just picked up yesterday on the DS, which I will be doing a review for next week's show, which will be very cool.
This is all the stuff Catherine got.
Ooh, let's have a look, let's have a look, let's have a look.
A game bag.
Poster.
Where hey MSN keyring.
Lots of cool bits and bobs. And a book. All signed. Very cool. I'm very jealous. I must admit, I still will not get rid of my Final Fantasy X, 4, 5, and 6 posters that I got that I swiped from work. I still have
swiped from work?
I still have all the banners for the release of it. Me and Mark nicked a load. I like yoink having those. Had them all up in my bedroom. Real big ones. I know that is pretty cool. I haven't had yet to play on it yet because I got to go around Mike's and have a go on his copy. But he says he's played 3 hours and says it's absolutely amazing. So.
But she said she didn't get to get a Moogle, whatever that is.
They were giving them out. Ooh, Moogle.
What is a Moogle?
Moogle will be the little white character with a red nose. And he
oh, so that's what this like Moo guy is about then. Because on here, there's like they've got Moo. Mr. Moo, that is. Oh, did you see this? They like had a Vortigaunt on the train and everything.
Fine. Cool.
Where is it? What, like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's been used in many different things in Final Fantasy IX. It followed around and it helped with saving stuff. In Final Fantasy X, it was just a doll that one of the characters had. Different perspective. In every film, it's always been different. It's always been shown. Even in the movie, a girl had it as a cuddly toy. So, no, very cool. Next week I'll be doing a review on Final Fantasy III on the DS.
Wow, man, let's go back 20 years.
Well, it's a remake. It's not the number 3 game. It's just a remake of the game.
Remake of number 3. Let's go back 20 years.
So, I'll be doing that next week. As well, when I picked up my import copy from America, I also got to see a Japanese PlayStation 3. Bar the fact that it was nice, shiny and black and blinking lights and it was all lit up under glass with the games piled next to it, I couldn't help but look at the size of this damn thing and just laugh. I couldn't help it, I just had to laugh. It just chuckled to myself.
Well, Catherine pwns you because Catherine
has played on
a PlayStation 3.
don't know what her opinion is of it. What did she say about it?
I think she just played MotorStorm and said it was crap.
Yeah, sounds about right. But they're selling them at the shop, the Japanese ones. Wouldn't pay the money to buy one, to be honest.
We'll get the Japanese one, because the European one won't play PS2 games.
Yeah, it'll suck. So yeah, I saw that, laughed. It's absolutely humongous. It does look as sillily, largely stupid as the pictures actually show it. So, yeah, freaky size.
Yeah, well done, Kutaragi.
I must admit,
we want machine million times more powerful than supercomputer. Oh no, we have to house it in a big thing.
To be honest,
and
I really
then their engineers bring him back down to Earth. Oh, okay, it's 1/2,000,000,000 the power of a supercomputer, and it's this big.
I must admit, I'm a bit kind of shocked by the size of, because you always get the bags to put stuff in. Like, we had all the satchels for release date for the 360. We've had the satchels for the Wii.
The Wii, man.
I can't imagine what the satchels are going to look like for the PlayStation 3.
Well, how big are the boxes?
It's going to end up being like one of those ones with the wheel, and you pull out the little arm like you see the business people with, and you just wheel it along.
Hardcore.
It's going to weigh a lot.
But yeah, it's like 4 weeks away now, so that'd be interesting to get that out the door.
Mm.
Speaking of that, let's do the sales figures.
Yeah, back to the sales figures.
Xbox 360 in the lead by a huge margin,
mm-hmm.
at 10.6 million units.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo Wii has a huge lead over PlayStation 3, and it scores in at 4.7 million units. So that's really impressive.
Mm.
PlayStation 3 crawls into like the starting block at 1.5 million units.
Fair enough, they're not released in Europe yet, but
so let's say the European launch will give them another million tops.
What's the date for the launch?
23rd of March.
So that's a Friday. So what we'll do is the Sunday beforehand we will check the figures. What I have to do is check the figures the day before launch and then check the figures.
These figures will probably take a while to update.
Yeah.
Because they have to wait until, like, sources come out.
Yeah. So we'll keep checking the figures as they come out and see how they jump up.
What will probably happen is Sony will say, we've shipped this number on that day, maybe 48 hours after that. But
it's how many they sell.
Yeah.
They can make billions of these things, but it all depends if they sell any.
I had a really interesting question today from someone as well, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's share it.
They wanted to know if they could plug the Xbox 360 HD DVD drive into a PlayStation 3. I was like, what?
Are they that desperate for high-definition DVD?
Yeah. Well, everyone knows Blu-ray's dead, so...
Mm.
But no, Sony don't let you do that. Although I'm sure Microsoft would love to enable that functionality.
Yeah, I must admit, they'd love that, and I'm hoping that they'll get around the system of being able to allow you to hook it up USB straight to your PC using Vista, which would be quite nice if they do that.
Already done.
It's already done.
You just need like HD DVD playback software.
Right.
But you can read the drive and everything in Vista.
Well, that's good, because that means that if you buy it for your
360, you can
unplug it, and it's like, for me, it means that I can watch
external. It's an external HD DVD drive for a PC as well.
Yeah, so it means I can move it into the spare room, watch it on my monitor, and just watch high definition. Which is good, because one of the things I've noticed.
Which is good, because you've got an awesome monitor.
Yeah, got the Dell 24-inch widescreen. Like,
wait,
you.
That's the same as mine.
But I've noticed when I watch DVDs,
it looks crap.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good, which means if I can watch in high definition, it means I can sit up close to the monitor in my chair, where normally I lay on my bed.
Well, yeah, because DVD resolution would be like that on the screen, so the screen is like stretching all that out.
Mm. Which means that it looks good at a far distance. If I get to the other end of my room, it looks good like a normal an LCD TV, but non-high definition. But as soon as you get the high definition drive in there, it's annoying because it means there'll be DVDs coming out. But what I'll do is, when I eventually go high definition, I'll just start buying everything else high definition. I don't think I'll start.
Well, you can buy HD DVDs now with DVDs on the other side of them.
Yeah.
So you might want to think about doing that.
Mm. Someone has released a film, and what they've done is they've released the same as that, but it's a dual-sided disc. Double-sided disc. And one side's got high definition, the other side's got Blu-ray. So you can buy the film in confidence of knowing that you could put it on either.
But
that's gonna
you need a special player for that.
No, because it's on the opposite side. Why would it not?
You don't have the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray disc is thicker than the HD DVD disc.
Ooh, yeah. I bet that'll melt it. Because I said to him.
So, unless the HD DVD player is, like, prepared to have a thicker disc shoved in it.
Yeah.
You're going to break it.
Mm.
Unless they've only said, okay, we can only do this with single layer and then try and splurge them together.
Yeah.
But even that, I think, is borderline breaking the specifications.
Mm. Right, our review on Supreme Commander.
But yeah, hang on a minute. There was a lot of stuff because there's been... At the CES this year, there was the dual format player, which could play both formats.
Mm.
And then there was like a hybrid disc, which wasn't HD DVD and it wasn't Blu-ray. Yeah, that was it. It was basically like a low quality Blu-ray and low quality HD DVD, which had them both on a single disc.
Mm.
But it wasn't like you didn't have like two layers for Blu-ray and two layers for HD DVD. It was like,
yeah,
and that's what's going to flop.
Yeah, people trying to get around it so that you can put it on either. But
so, you know, things are trying to resolve the format war. The only thing that's going to resolve it is for everyone just to boycott one format, and that format is Blu-ray. Boycott.
Mm.
End the format war today. You can do it. Just don't buy Blu-ray. It's decided. Gamercast is officially supporting HD DVD.
Yep. Gamercast brought to you in high definition.
Yeah, that's why it's being broadcast at like 37 kilobits per second. And it's downloadable at 64 kilobits per second. Yeah, high def. Oh man, we should do like one episode where we say high definition Gamercast and it's like 96 kilobits per second download. No, and we should make that premium content as well, so you have to pay to get it. And we just put like HD in front of
them. We actually do a TV version again.
Yeah, we need to do that at some point, like for show number 100 or something.
Which would be quite cool.
Yeah, we need to do like a super long happy special edition with like Catherine, Rudis, you, me.
I'll get
what's his face?
Stu.
Yeah.
Stu over, and I'll get the thing, a bit of the video games. We can review something new or something on the 360 actually.
We can review Return to Castle Wolfenstein. We haven't reviewed that yet. Oh wait, it's like 4 years old. Oh, we should just review the original one.
We need something that we can do with 360, have the 360 set up and actually get the DV camera out and actually film the whole thing, sort of thing. Because the good thing about these monitors is they're not going to screw up on digital cameras.
You know what I was thinking? You know Dream Scene?
Mm.
The Windows Vista Ultimate Extra, which lets you play video as the wallpaper.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking what we do is set up some software so it captures the input from a camera, the system encodes it on the fly and writes it into an MPEG file and then clears the stuff out, so you've got like a 5 megabyte buffer or so. And so the system can play the video believing it's locally on the system when it's really streaming directly from a camera, like pointing outside the window or something. Then you'd have the outside on your monitor. And you wouldn't have to worry about looping it because it'd be a real-time feed.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool, but it's really hard to do.
Mm.
So yeah, if there's a developer out there who wants to try and do a solution like that, do it. We only want 10%. Okay, thank you. Right, Supreme Commander.
Oh my god, this was amazing. So many features, so little time to talk about all of them.
Shall we load it up now and hammer the system?
No. Right, what would you say was a good feature that you liked about it?
Good feature is it is fun. Well, what do you want me to talk about? There's so much stuff.
Yeah, one of the features that really catches my eye...
It's like saying, "Why? Give me one reason why I should upgrade to Windows Vista. I can give you 100 reasons."
Okay, well, I would say one of my favourite ones is the shift button. Being able to use anything...
Queue things up.
Yeah, queuing things up.
Queue everything up.
where you want it to go. You can even grab hold of it with this little gauntlet, grab hold of the track and tell the aircraft to ignore this area, because all of a sudden you've just found an army walking there and you've just sent everything going that direction, so you can move it and say, go this way now, get all the waypoints set. You can turn around and say, right, waypoint here, 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 shoot that, destroy it, then go here, here, here. And when you get to this area, I want you to patrol this. One of the other things that we were talking about before, which were really good, is the transport vehicles, to transport your units. You can set up a ferry, so they will come backwards and forwards, picking up an army and taking them somewhere else, which really does help when playing these. This game lasts much, much longer. I've been playing in skirmish mode on one map, and I've been playing for the last couple of days over evening. Just
well,
a bit
I can wipe out the hardest AI in 10 minutes in skirmish.
But I'm not doing that. I'm literally just there, and I'm trying to build an army, and I'm just waiting for it to come.
My bombers will wipe you out, mate. Like they did the Rutus.
Yeah. One of the things
I should have just finished them off. Then.
The AI, which is quite good, because some people, because it is a long period to build up. You can play this game for quite some time. It's not like a quick skirmish. You wouldn't really call it skirmishing because you're building such big bases. It's not like you're there and you build a quick base, get your army and go to things.
Yes,
you are
skirmish
building.
Implies like a little battle.
Mm. This, you can actually start having the skirmishes in the middle, but because the maps are so big, you can build a base further away. One of the AI settings, which is quite good for in the skirmish mode, is you can have a hard AI with high tech level. So that the character will not come and attack you until it's pretty much built everything. Go on, squeaky chair. So which means that if you really want to try and build a big base and not start fighting straight away, you can just start building. And then when it's built all the top stuff, it will start sending them across. So you can do the same thing. So when you start playing the beta hacked version, you were having trouble with the AI continuously pummeling you with whatever you had, and you didn't have time to build anything large.
Well, I did, but it was just distracting.
Yeah. Well, so this, if you wanted to, you could sit here and be your own little country with another country opposite you and build up your army, get your city ready, and then attack each other. So it does have those nice features shoved in. The look for
basically,
it.
You can tell the AI... Let me just put this down. You can tell AI to turtle, rush, or concentrate on tech.
Mm.
Which
maps.
Is good, because sometimes I just want to play against an AI who just sits in his base and is a turtling, camping little git.
Yeah.
Because that's cool, man, because I can build 10,000 bombers and level his base.
Yeah, you want someone who says, I'm not going to attack you, but I'm going to sit here, and then there, you can't touch me. And it gives you a different
nothing can
gun.
Touch me once I've got my artillery set up.
Yeah, the Duke gun I just
I
built.
Don't even need that. Tech 2 artillery, I own the map.
Yeah.
Me and Brutus had a game against the AI the other day. I boxed him in with my... It was not against the hard AI. I boxed him in with like 40-odd artillery pieces. And they were sending like an experimental gunship down every 20 seconds. And like they had like a huge land army attacking as well. So the experimental gunship was a bit of an issue, but the land units were just blown away.
Were these and mobile artilleries or fixed?
Fixed, tech 2 artillery. Fixed, like, building artillery. That was the things that hammered your base.
Yeah.
I built that there. I built the other one there just so you thought, oh, he's doing it defensively. When all I was doing was putting that base inside the range of your base. So when I break the alliance, I can wipe your base out.
Yeah, I noticed, and then that it all crashed.
No, that was the other game.
Yeah.
The evil game, which went super slow because we had too many AIs in it.
Yeah.
So get a fast computer.
That's why I got to look at new motherboard and bits and bobs. So yeah, it's an amazing game. I must admit, a lot of people are going to find it a little bit slow, but if you build in a certain way...
Do it on a small map. Play
don't,
against me,
don't
you
build
won't think
as much.
It's slow. You're dead within minutes.
Yeah, you don't build as much. If you don't go for all the bells and whistles, you can get in there and do something fast. The cool thing is, if you want to dig in, start building stuff, you know, you can build shield. You can start with building those blockades to stop people with choke points. Then if you want...
They're called walls.
The walls, yeah. Then you can build shield generators that create the bubbles, and there's two techs of those.
There's two techs of those with the UEF. Is there two techs for the Gaon?
Yeah, the Aeon have
Gaeon.
The Gaeon, exactly the same. It's pretty much the same
but
stuff.
But the Cybern Nation people, they only have one. They have a Tech 2 Shield Gen, which they can upgrade.
Yeah.
But they don't have like a. They don't have a shield anywhere near as powerful as the UEF or the Gaeon. Because the Gaeon shields are really powerful.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
It was annoying, so I'd build some more artillery.
But everybody's got their advantages and disadvantages. Like the Cybern Nation, some of their battleships can actually sprout legs and mount onto the...
Their destroyers can, yeah.
And get onto the ground, which is quite good because there is one map where there's a massive landmass going down the middle, which means if you built all your boats on one side and you find out your enemy built the boats on the other side, you can't shoot each other. Where the Cybern Nation, you're like, yeah, we'll just walk over this landmass and get onto the other pond
And of course, they've got the Monkey Lord.
The Monkey Lord.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I must have looked
it's
at the Cybern Nation.
It's a big walking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Big spider bot.
Yeah.
The thing that keeps blowing everything up.
The Aeons have got
especially
massive
when you send
bots.
Like three of them at you. The Gaeons had the giant walking dude, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have the giant, like, Independence Day, like, spaceships.
Yeah. Where the UEF have got that mobile unit that builds stuff.
Mobile factory with, like, four battleship guns on it and loads of other stuff.
And they've also got Atlantis.
Yeah, the submarine aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Which could hold 150 aircraft. Imagine sprouting that up near someone's base.
Does it build them or does it carry them?
Only carry.
Cool.
If it built them, it would be, like, overkill.
Yeah. So I've got a on the map I've got at the moment. I've got two land factories, one Tech 1 and one Tech 3.
What?
The Tech.
You've only got three factories.
Yeah.
Dude. No wonder you're losing.
Oh no! What I'm doing is I'm sitting behind two AIs. Basically, I've got two AIs on my side, and then there's two AIs opposite me, and the third AI has got nothing to do with them. And they are because I had two Cybern Nations. And had Aeon sat in the back that was just building tech, and then he went in and started wiping out one of them, and he's gone through the middle, and he's coming after the two that are on my team. What I've done is I've not...
So you're hiding.
I'm hiding back there and building a base with the big gun thing.
Cheat.
And...
Are you building the Tech 4 artillery?
You mean the...
nuclear artillery.
Oh, the nuclear
the
missiles?
Uber. No, the artillery that's like Uber shells.
No.
The experimental artillery.
Oh, no, the experiment, that's on the last of my list. That gets built after the mobile factory.
Build it now.
But yeah, I'm building the mobile...
Now!
Yeah, I will.
Load it up, dude.
But yeah, the cool thing about it, which they do try and persist about the concept of playing the game, is that you need to start using your spy planes and spy bikes, or whatever spy vehicle on the land you've got, and actually going and seeing what your opponent is doing, because they'll be picking a different
because
type of strategy.
Because if they're building experimentals, you better be ready for them.
You know, you need to decide whether you actually need to bother defending your base, or you need to go in there and rush them with what you've got. Do you need to be going in there with bombers, or is bombers not going to work because they've spent all of their time not building much of an army, and they've got complete anti-aircraft guns, but not many guns to defend those for land attacks?
Cyber and point defense are lethal.
So
they never miss.
Yeah, so you've got to choose on which way you've got to come in. The other great thing about it is because of this shift button that allows you to set waypoints, as soon as you hold shift, you can see other units' shift points of where they're going along, which means if you find you've sent an army coming along on the land and you said, right, this part here, I'm attacking there. If you collect all of your bombers, you can hover the mouse point over that bit once you've got shift locked down, and when you go to click on it, it says double click for coordinated attack, which means those bombers would get there beforehand if you were just attacking, but now they will time it because every shift point gives you an ETA of when they will arrive for what is happening. Are you assisting? Are you attacking? Are you arriving there, or are you going to go and patrol that area? Now it means that you can send bombers or your submarines or your tap boats or your battleships and have them all arrive
or
at the same time.
Your Tech 1 engineer and take over their base.
Yeah, you can send your tech bot, take over a base. The good thing is if you pummel something and it just stops working but it hasn't completely destroyed, you can go there and take it over. If they had a factory and the only thing that was defending it were gun emplacements, if you destroy the gun emplacements out of the bomber, don't send in the troops, just send in a tech, because the tech are unarmed, which means they don't attack anything, and you can get them to take over that factory, and they've already got the structure there. You're not having to build anything. You just take it over, pow, you start building their equipment.
That's another thing I like, the fact that battlefields get full of like wreckage and everything else.
The wreckage gets everywhere.
So if you've got a building that's been blown out, you can either reclaim the materials that were in the building, or you can like rebuild on the same spot and have like the building already half done.
Yeah. Which also
means... But then
means
you can like, if you send your engineers out to a battlefield, you can queue up loads of orders for them to like reclaim all the blown up stuff, which is really interesting. Because it's really good, especially when you're running really low on resources, like when you're heavily building high-tech stuff. It's good to like just top things up with an engineer going around.
The fact that you can reclaim...
reclaim it. You can reclaim rocks.
Reclaim...
And trees. And Adam.
Reclaim me.
I did. Like reclaim your base.
Yeah. The fact that you can get hold of their factories, which means that you can up the level by having someone else's factories.
Like I want cyber and gay units.
It is an advantage because it means that you can
it's
send...
an advantage.
If they've got something that would add to
the
your
cyber
thing.
And scum will be stamped out. And that goes with a gay on as well.
Yeah, but would you much rather send in yours or them? Let them be the front line.
No way, man.
Up.
The UEF doesn't hide. We
the
go
UEF.
In. We
Hoorah.
Go in hard, man.
But, no, I definitely... or would you give it out a Game & Cash score out of a 10?
10 out of 10.
Yeah, I must admit...
I feel like I'm 14 again playing like Red Alert 1.
It's got
I'm
that
unstoppable,
feeling.
I'm undefeated at this game, and so on.
It is really playable. One of the things that I do like
and
is
the cool, and one of the really cool features is you can zoom out.
Yeah, the zoom is absolutely amazing. Being able to zoom so close to the characters, yet you can zoom all the way out to the map. The mini map you can zoom in as well, which also if you've got dual screen you can actually have as a, on the extra dual screen
you don't
monitor.
Even need dual screen to do it. You can split the screen down the middle anyway.
How do you do that? Because I've not been able to find that.
Home and end keys.
Okay.
And I think home splits it and end closes it, or the other way around, but it's home and end.
Okay, I'll remember that.
So you can have like a map here and like zoom in on
I was looking for it in the options. I knew you could do it but I couldn't find it. What was I saying?
The story is interesting as well.
Yeah,
reminds me sort of StarCraft. There's nowhere near as good as StarCraft, but the briefings are like the same. You've got, pictures of stuff on the thing, and they're talking, and it's like, well, man, it's talking.
Yeah, it gives you an element of the reason why this battle is going on.
It's because the Cybern scum. And the Gaon should be wiped out for being gay. Stupid weapons.
A lot of things are
and
changing.
And their stupid floating engineers, which has to deal with that.
A lot of stuff has been mixed up, so it's a different style of RTS, which is making it new and fresher. I must admit, thanks to the person who kept going on about, what about Supreme Commander? What is this Supreme Commander, and why do you keep talking about it? And then finally I decided to just click on it, because I couldn't find anything for the show, and I thought, what's the Supreme Commander? I saw a button for it on game.net website, clicked on it. I was like, trailer? Okay, watch your trailer. Ooh, okay, it's an RTS, and this looks good. Looked into a bit more research, so I was like, this looks even better. I did a review saying, Paul will respect this, but might not like it because it's no Command & Conquer 3. Paul looks at it and
it isn't Command & Conquer 3, and that's good.
Then all of a sudden, Paul recognises the potential and what could be an amazing game, and I was like, okay, where's the demo? Before we know it, both of us, including Rudis, it's like, the ultimate thing. This needed to be pushed more in advertisement, I must admit, but I am fairly impressed. I've been playing...
Fairly impressed?
Amazingly impressed. I can't stop playing this damn game. It's what I do. And the good thing about it is because you can do this queuing up and get everything on the command, because you are one human in a command suit, which, again, I haven't been playing too much with the whole upgrading it, but the amount of things you can do with that were amazing. And you can get support units that come out and help him.
Question though, how do you get the support units to maintain a base? Because none of my bases have really come under attack, so I'm not sure if they're actually doing stuff.
The big mech supporting thing.
The guys that come in through the Quantum Gateway, the other support commanders.
Yeah.
How do you get them to like look after that base?
I think the reason what there is the fact that they are the same as what he is, but it's instead of having techs, because of the fact that they're heavily armed, they can do all the same stuff, but they're at tech level 3, so they can start building all the tech level 3 stuff. I've only ever had one once, and I've never bothered trying to get them again because it's such a hassle to get hold of them.
Is it in my, because one of the coolest things is they can automatically rebuild your base.
Yeah.
So when stuff gets blown up, they automatically rebuild it.
There must be a button on those.
The trouble is, nobody can get near my base, so I can't test it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I use the patrol thing and assume patrol does it, but I don't really know, so somebody knows.
We'll have to have a look into that. I must admit, the amount of features in there are more than you can use in a match. The reason for that is tactics. It is all about your tactics of what you're going to do. And your tactics have to be one key word, fluid. You've got to be able to bend with what happens. If someone all of a sudden decides, I'm throwing this army at you, but you're unaware that this army is just to take your attention by the fact my massive navy fleet is going to get right up close to your base and bombard you, keep you pinned there while my aircraft come in and bomb you. As soon as you realize this, because you decided to send over a spy plane, you see the navy and you change your position of what you're building, where are you putting it, and the tactics you're using to use this army completely change, and it gives you the ability to do that. Instead of you being limited on the fact that you just get a barracks and an army and you buy everything and you upgrade, you've got every man, and that's it, you've just got an army and you do the same thing over and over again. I must admit, most of the time I feel like I'm repeating the same match again and again. But there's enough stuff with this that you can play different.
Repeating the same match time again and again, that's bad.
Exactly, that's what I mean. With other RTSs, because you only get so much, because you're only getting so much, you feel like you're fighting your way to get the Uber stuff. You got the Uber stuff and you do the same thing.
Sod the Uber stuff. Tech 1 bombers within the first 10 minutes of the game.
But that's what I mean. In Supreme Commander, you don't
need
to go...
Because nobody built anti-aircraft stuff. And if they do build anti-aircraft stuff, great. They've just wasted so much money on anti-aircraft stuff.
Because of this, you don't have to get to the Uber stuff straight away. That's why I've got a Tech 1 factory just building those little robots. I've just built an army that's like 500 strong of them, and I just... aircraft dropped those right into one place, and I just sent those, and no matter how much their supreme robot was picking them up and going vroom, picking them up and throwing them left, right and centre, there were so many for him to deal with, he couldn't gravity gun them all at the same time, so they were pummeling him. Took him away slowly, and then I start hitting with the artillery.
Artillery isn't very effective against the Colossus. What I find is that most effective is aircraft. He has no anti-air defense whatsoever.
Just bombed him. The thing was, as soon as I started bombing him,
the thing can survive like two nukes as well. So don't waste nukes on it. Just send over like five strategic bombers.
I sent over bombers, but they started having to get fighters out there to defend them, because as soon as I started bombing him, they sent in fighters to counter that.
Yeah.
So I was...
Well, get your ground units there.
Oh yeah, they were all trying to do it. So it's on pause. It's still on pause and saved, ready for when I get home later. So.
Do you want a game later?
Well, I'm not going home until tomorrow, so it'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
We need to get Rudis on again.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm free to do it because all I got to do is get home early.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, I would definitely give that 10 out of 10. It is absolutely
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. 10 out of 10.
Let's do this 5 out of 5 thing, please. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't 10 out of 10. I mean, it's too... You've got too much options of things, because...
Yeah, 5 out of 5.
The trouble with the out-of-10 range is nobody uses, like, sub-5. You know, you might have the odd game that's really crap, which gets a free. Come on. Just give it a 1 out of 5. Easy.
Yeah, so I'd say a definite 5 out of 5 for this one. It's got plenty of potential. The fact that it's already got the built-in abilities to add on the cheats and the mods... for anything that anybody can get their hands on and doing stuff, I could really
because all the game files are in like text, so none of this stuff is like hard coded in or anything.
Yeah, so you can really start. It is a palette for you people to start playing with. So I must admit, it's going to be good. The other thing that
we need to change the Galactic Colossus into the Galactic Gay.
The other thing that I do like is if you get the special edition, it comes with a whole pack of stuff to create a fan website.
Oh, great!
So it, you know, gives you some bits and bobs and backgrounds and buttons and all bits and bobs and stuff. So I'm
that's downloadable from their website. Fan side pack with all this rubbish stuff, which is really rubbish. Why would I want a picture of the game? I've got the game. find a picture of it, I can just play.
Are you going to do a Supreme Commander poll?
No, too late now. And stuff like that needs to be done on launch. Yeah. No, not on launch, on announcement.
Yeah.
So yeah, go back in time.
And then I'll tell you about it and get you excited, and then we wouldn't do it. But yeah, I must make mods for this, and maybe an expansion pack in the future, maybe something that would work really well with this.
They need to work on the sounds more now.
Yeah.
The gun sounds and all that, fantastic. But I want the units to like say, yo dude, what's up? And work, and
yeah,
more whatever. Work. Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Zog.
Are you still playing Warcraft?
I'm not played it in like a week or so.
Wow. I gotta get my account reactivated because I cancelled it then. I gotta wait until I move and then I reactivate again because I'm not playing. I'm not at home long enough to be able to play in it.
Where. What, can you like pause the account?
All I did was I couldn't be bothered to go pay the $17.99, so all I did was I paid $8.99 on a monthly subscription.
Well,
waited until I got to the close for it to renew, and then I just cancelled it. So it's frozen the account again. So the cool thing is you can just cancel it, freeze it, and then reactivate it again by either adding one of the scratch card cards, or just reactivating it by paying for it. So. I want to join back into that because I was really getting in with the Burning Crusade.
Burning, what a bunch of gays.
They're burning.
That's what we need in the expansion pack for Supreme Commander, the Burning Crusade.
Make it into WoW. a mod to turn Supreme Commander into WoW.
Turn the Galactic Colossus into a giant like orc. Like a peon.
Yeah, because you can change the size of him, you just give him the same controls.
Yeah, you just make him like a mile big. And he can like chop wood down really fast.
That would be really cool. Could you just do all the magic things and the building and stuff? Oh, that would rock. Okay, I'd say that's all I've got. Next week I'll do my review on Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah, nice one. Review 12, why don't you?
I am a god of PS2. You won't let me own one.
It's not my fault you blew one up.
I already have two. That's enough for me.
Okay, so feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net.
Mm-hmm.
Or even better yet, you can leave it on the blog at gamercast.net. Or you can leave it on the forums at portalforums.net. Or you can visit Adam in person and tell him.
Yeah, come say hi.
No, don't. What else is there? We accept audio letters as well, so if you've got some audio letters, audio reviews,
anything you want to send us, we'll quite happily,
like funny stuff, like anything in the news
you see it and you want to spread it to the people, show it to us, and we will give it whatever,
we will give it coverage if we deem it worthy enough.
Any more what about this, what about that would be really good, like the person did with Supreme Commander. The only thing I want to know is if you know anything about it at all, or if someone had said Supreme Commander, do you know anything about it, it's this new RTS, it probably would have caught a bit more interest in our ears earlier, but just saying the word Supreme Commander didn't really get us going straight away. So, and that was a really good gem.
Include genre because you know, if it's a rubbish genre like sport games,
we won't look into it, but if it's something really good like what we normally talk about, then we'll
like WoW.
I'll put some effort into researching for it.
Like WoW. The game Adam talks about all the time.
WoW!
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That is it for episode 60. We will see you next week at the same time.
Same place, same time. Same
place, Gamercast on that.
Yeah.
And if you want to, like, we need some more people to listen live.
Yeah. So. Please try and listen live.
In the UK and Ireland, Ireland's on GMT, aren't they? Yeah, they must be. Are they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, should be.
Live.gamercast.net. There's a link to a chat room there, and you can join the chat room while we're broadcasting and listen live and, you know, say stuff like Zelio says some stuff here. He says, Zelio has left. Wow, man.
The other good thing about it is if you want to say something on the show and have it live, we can just, you know, talk, whatever.
We can do it on the fly. So we want more people to listen live because it's cool. Because the one time you had loads of people on, you didn't turn up.
I know. I'm sorry.
You will be sorry, man. Yeah, when's it like school holidays or something? Because that's when people have got loads of free time in.
Yeah. Because the other thing is, I'm free Sundays.
Because all the noobs on the forums are like, you know, 12 and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 15 and stuff. Although, I think Zelio is like 9. I'm not sure.
Not entirely sure.
Who cares?
Right, so that's it.
That is it for episode 60.
And we'll see you next week.
Bow chicka bow wow.
I haven't heard that in ages.
It's back.
By the power of Grayskull. I watched Hot Fuzz last week. It so rocks.
Okay, fun.
Later.